Prior to yesterday, I was in pristine condition, chiseled deep in cold stone, my mouth constantly open in fear of the one I would one day hold. My breath had grown dank from long inhaled suspense, dreading my destiny, to be locked away with death, to watch decay. Yesterday, he arrived, wound in white. I had barely glimpsed him before the great stone door thudded aloud and sealed me in shuddering, silent darkness. Yesterday. Today, I know the truth of providence in gloomy places. I have received my maker and master. My solitude is wrapped in peace, for the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wait, people of darkness, wait with me in silence. Wait.
Hear the word of the Lord from John 19. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those on the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and he took away the body. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in that garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Pray with me. Our loving Father, would you stir within us today a fresh understanding of your gracious sacrifice? In these next few moments, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us the goodness of Jesus? Would you please convict us of our need for you in our lives? Help us, Lord. Help us to surrender all. In the mighty name of Jesus. The church said, amen. Jesus paid it all. That's not just a song that we sing, but a proclamation of truth and grace. He gave up himself, not just for the sake of you, not just for the sake of me, but for the sake of the world. It was a death that Satan believed would be victorious for his evil kingdom. But what he did not know is what many in our world still do not believe. The grave could not hold him and death could not defeat him. However, sin does still sliver its way into our lives. And it wreaks havoc. It causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Just ask Peter. In John 18, after Jesus was willingly, that's a key word, willingly arrested, he was dragged away to face the high priest. And Peter and John and Luke says some of the female disciples, among them Mary Magdalene, they followed at a distance. And once they arrived in the temple courtyard area, Peter found a fire to warm himself. And three different times, as Peter stood by that fire, perhaps maybe with his hands warming, and the reflection of the light of that fire illuminating his face, three times someone asked him, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" And all three times, Peter denied, just flat out denied even knowing Jesus. And then the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered Jesus' words, saying that he would deny him three times before the rooster would crow. And Luke's gospel says that Peter went outside the temple courtyard and he wept bitterly. In John 21, we find this beautiful restoration story where Peter was filled with regret, sorrow, perhaps shame and guilt because of his gross denials. Jesus knew that. And so in John 21, we have this beautiful portrayal of Jesus restoring Peter, and by no coincidence at all, asking him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter all three times said, "Lord, you know I love you." The third time, "I love," he says, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Well, then feed my sheep." And in that moment, Peter's passion and his confidence was restored, and his shame and guilt was washed away in forgiveness by the Lamb of God. And like Peter today, instead of denying the Lord with our words, instead of denying the Lord with our actions, we must choose to deny self, to pick up the cross, and to follow Jesus. You may have heard of this little best-selling mediation devotional book by Robert Boyd Munger called My Heart, Christ Home. What he's doing is he's helping us to imagine what it might be like for our heart to be a house. And at that house, we receive a very special guest, Jesus. And Jesus comes in because we've invited him in, and he begins to walk around with us from room to room, from the living room into the kitchen to the dining room to the study to even the back porch, and everything is well kept, everything is pristine. But if Jesus did find something that was a little out of place, he would patiently talk with us about it and clean it up. Even if it was messy, he doesn't mind. So what I want to do right now is I want you to focus, however you need to do that. If you need to close your eyes, do that. If you just need to look down, do that. If you just want to pay close attention, I want you to imagine your heart as a home. And you're receiving a special guest, Jesus. And you give him that tour. You take him into your living room and show him around. You take him into your kitchen, your dining room, your study, even your bedroom. You show him around. Everything's well kept. Everything looks okay. But then Jesus says, "Thank you for showing me around the bottom half of your home. Could we go upstairs?" So you hesitantly agree, and you guys begin walking up the stairs together, and you're starting to go up those stairs, and Jesus says, "Do you smell that? There's a distinct odor coming from one of the rooms upstairs. I think it's in the hall closet." And immediately, you know what he's talking about. It's this little closet, just a few square feet, and inside, behind lock and key, you keep some things there hidden. Some things that you don't want anyone to see. You don't want Christ to see them. And so you think to yourself, "Jesus, I've showed you my kitchen, I've showed you my living room, I've taken you outside on my back porch, I've even taken you into my bedroom and surrendered some things there, and this is just too much." And so you look at Jesus as you're about to approach the landing and you say, "Jesus, I'm not going to give you the key." And Jesus walks with you the rest of the way up, takes a look around, and he says, well, if you think I'm going to stay up here with this odor, you're mistaken. So I'm going to wait out in the back porch, and when you're ready, you come and find me. You come and get me. You let me know, and I'll be ready. You see, when we've come to know, and friend, I mean really know Jesus, and the power of his death, burial, and resurrection, one of the worst feelings in the world is to realize that we're intentionally refusing Jesus access to a part of our heart. So what's inside your hall closet? What is it behind lock and key that you're refusing to hand over, to surrender, to give to Jesus? It's dead. It's decaying because it's something from your past that you've never told anyone. Maybe it's something that's happened recently and you're ashamed, like Peter. Or maybe it's something that you're living with now, and maybe Holy Spirit this morning for the first time is stirring something within you. Don't ignore that. Don't deny Jesus access to even that little small closet in your heart. It's time to do as King David summoned the Lord to do for him. I want to read from Psalm 139. I want you to pay close attention to these words. King David said, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And that's what I want us to do right now, is just spend the next few moments inviting God, asking God to search our hearts. Now is the time to respond to the Lord. And so the band is going to come and lead us in our next song together. And during this time of response, if you need to surrender something to the Lord, no matter how long it might have been decaying, in that small little corner of your heart, hidden away, listen, friend, Jesus is graciously waiting, not to point his finger at you, but to embrace you, as we talked about last week, like the Father in Luke 15, just waiting, watching, ready to embrace you and welcome you home. And so our shepherds are going to be just available to you around the worship center. And you can just go straight to one of them if you need prayer this morning. Maybe you're celebrating something this morning and you just want someone to rejoice with. We want to rejoice with you this morning and just praise the Lord for whatever it is in your life. But if you're going through something difficult and you need some encouragement, you need prayers for strength, we're here to serve you this morning. Maybe today your response is to be baptized, and we would love to witness that today. What a great day to be baptized, to reenact the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus in the watery grave of baptism, being raised up out of the waters to live a new life. So whatever your response needs to be this morning, respond to the Lord now while we sing this next inspiring song together.
Yesterday, I was sealed by power, guarded by helplessness, silent, solemn. Today, my mouth has been opened. An angel rolled away the barricade and sat upon it like a cloud, so the whole world could see what I did before the stone was moved. Jesus left. He simply left. When dawn broke, angels returned to me and filled me with their rejoicing. Now empty, their sound echoes and reverberates within. It rolls and ricochets and rises just as he did. Listen to me. The resurrection and the life has risen.
Everyone believed that death had won. All those that watched, including his mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, John, and even Peter, they stood at the foot of the cross believing that Jesus was dead and that death had won. Maybe it was their immense shock of all that had happened. Maybe it was their deep sorrow for their rabbi, their friend, their son. But they had forgotten that he had predicted a different ending. Several times he had done this. I just want to remind us of my favorite resurrection prediction. Ironically, there was a large crowd on this day as well, and ironically again, they all believed that death had won. They blamed Jesus, actually, for not showing up sooner, preventing the death. And that's when Jesus looked at the family and made this promise. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And when Jesus saw the place where they had laid his good friend Lazarus, he was deeply moved to the point of sorrow. And John says that he wept. And the crowd noticed his sorrow. They looked at him and said, "See how he loved him? See how he loved him." And then this happened. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. And then Jesus told her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Today we've witnessed two people taking off their grave clothes and putting on the clothes of Jesus. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28. They have literally put on their Jesus suit and are going to walk out of here today with new life. Jesus is not intimidated by death or decay because he has defeated them both. And in this story, he powerfully predicted that he would be the embodiment of resurrected life and that those who believe in him would enjoy the same. Let me go back to a few moments ago during our response time. Did you identify something in your heart that is harmful, whether to you or to someone else? Was there something that you identified in your heart that is decaying? Maybe it's been dead for a long time and there's a bad odor and it's causing you pain, even though you may not know it. Did you give that over to Jesus? And if you didn't do that, let me ask you, why are you holding on to it? What are you gaining by holding on to it? Whether it's anger or resentment or bitterness or pride or jealousy or shame or guilt, we have no control over things like this. So why are you holding on to it? We may not be able to control things like that, but there is something we can control: our response to Jesus. Listen, Jesus comes to our hidden closets. He approaches our tombs that we've created, and they have an odor. They smell like death. And us, like Martha, we ask Jesus, but Jesus, it's been dead for so long. It must stink by now. And Jesus looks at us and says, it's okay. If you'll just let me in, I'll clean your house and I'll make it brand new. But you know that Jesus is a gentleman. Have you ever heard that phrase? Jesus is a gentleman. He's a gracious Lord. He will not bully his way into our lives. We must let him in. We must receive him. And we must give him lock and key to those hidden places so that he can clean our house. When Jesus told Martha that he is the resurrection and life, he was telling her, and he is telling us, that the reality of the resurrection is not simply something that awaits us at the end of this time. Instead, Jesus is expressing a truth that we sometimes miss today. Jesus is resurrection. Jesus is life. An aspect of life that begins now when we believe in who he says that he is. And so in Jesus, we have access to abundant life right now. And Jesus is declaring that there is real power available in this present time and moment to do great things in his name. To be as clear as I can be, according to Ephesians chapter 1, the same God power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is available and at work within us. And so there's a truth that I want you to take to heart today. It's this. In Jesus, we have life that begins now where there was once only the prospect of death. In Jesus, we have life that begins now where there was once only the prospect of death. Do you believe that? That was Jesus' question to Martha. Did you catch that? Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that nothing can separate us from the love and the life of God that he has for us in Jesus Christ? Not even death can separate us from the real, eternal life that Jesus offers us. So would you soak in this truth from Scripture as we close out the message? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be the glory and honor and power forever and ever. World without end. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we love you. We are so thankful today for the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May his name be made great in all of this world. Father, may you use us, may you work mightily within us to be your ambassadors to the world for the sake of the world. May we take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with us as we leave this place. Let us be reminded powerfully today, Father, that you are the giver of resurrected life. And we say thank you. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.